Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversations and enlightening guests, and I'm glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope something in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Now, as we head into the winter holidays, dealing with family dynamics is always something that we either look forward to or maybe dread a little bit. We might share stories or step gingerly around old wounds. We may even find ourselves locked in conflict. My guest on today's show is Francesca Mason Boring. She invites us to find our place in the world through acknowledgement of what came before, to connect to our ancestral lineage, to clear unresolved energetic entanglements that might be keeping us from living a full and happy life. Are you ready to meet her? Francesca Mason Boring is a Constellations facilitator and trainer and a member of the Shoshone Nation. She serves as an advisor and writer for The Knowing Field, the International English Journal on Systems Constellation. Francesca's trained with masters of family and human systems constellation, as well as her own elders and Aboriginal teachers, and she's facilitated Constellations work all over the world. Francesca is the author of Connecting to Our Ancestral Past, Feather Medicine, and Coyote Dance, and there's a new book, which I'll ask her about too as we get into this. You can find out more about Francesca and her work at allmyrelationsconstellations.com. Francesca, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Karen. I really am grateful to be on the show, and I love the intention of the program and what you do.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad you're here. You come at this work from a really interesting background. Can you share a little bit about that blend of gifts you have that makes this work such a good fit for you?
I'm happy to, and I hope that it will be in a way that benefits whoever is listening. I hope that it is somehow encouraging and supports the kind of clarity that all of us are really seeking. So perhaps what I could say is that I facilitate family systems constellation, which is a beautiful method that looks at something that's so powerful and so simple, and that is increasing the flow of love in the family system. Perhaps my mentor in this work, because it really facilitates clarity through the use of something that's called the knowing field. And this knowing field is simply a way of being able to very accurately represent within any system, and initially the focus was exclusively family systems, being able to really illuminate where are the points of vulnerability or where are the conflicts, where are the wounds that really interfere with us moving forward. So part of the kernel of wisdom in this work is that it really accesses this knowing field that we know more and more is really a part of how we're made. One of the gifts that's really abundant and available to us, but with different mechanistic philosophies and other disciplines that came in, and some of them, you know, obviously providing great benefit. But with many of the technologies and the more industrial perspectives, a lot of the different wisdoms, traditional kinds of wisdoms or indigenous wisdoms, like knowing and seeing and intuitions, those things were really minimalized or marginalized. And so this work actually, again, revives the relevance of that way of knowing. So for me, on my mother's side, I'm Shoshone, and perhaps it comes from that side that for generations, and I think it's not unique just to Shoshone people or even what we would call tribal people or indigenous people, the more I began to really learn from a variety of people around the world, the more I became aware that really we all come from an indigenous, we all have this wiring for this kind of connection and this wisdom. So from 17 forward, one of the things that I had in my life was that I was visited by knowing dreams. So they were dreams that would foretell different events that would happen. And fortunately, within my native family context, that was really very ordinary. It was considered just one piece of empirical data. There was not a lot of notoriety or hysteria or judgment. It was just a very normal way of providing information to support a family or a family system. What became really clear was that there was a real distinction between the native perception of that kind of knowing and Western psychological interpretations of those kinds of knowing. So very early I found that those kinds of things in a Western context were more likely to be defined as psychosis or delusions, auditory hallucinations, a whole plethora of pathologies were attached to that kind of knowing. So it was really very clear that it wasn't anything that I should include as a part of normal conversation unless I were unless I was present in a group of other people who were Native American or who had some sort of indigenous roots, so that it was really within context, a very comfortable, ordinary part of conversation. So when I was introduced to constellation work, which came from Germany, there was the use of this knowing, and it was actually, I have to say, at this point, some fairly brave, predominantly German psychotherapists who were really beginning to follow the evolution of this way of getting clarity about what was happening in a family system. And in particular, were there transgenerational wounds that really impeded a person in their ability to move forward in today's world, in their own life? Did they really have perhaps limits that came from a trauma of a parent or a grandparent or even further back? And so to find a relatively standard Western healing modality that really did not exclude this way of knowing was, for me, a pretty wonderful, unique experience. So that's perhaps the part of my background that that really moved me very quickly toward this work. And in its most familiar end, I think that it's the part that uniquely really invites all of us, because we all have that kind of connection and that ability.
I agree that what I would call that divine connection or our intuitive connection is in everyone. And one of the things that's fascinating to me about this work is that the knowing that you're speaking of, the knowing field that we step into when we engage in this work with a facilitator, as it's done mm-hmm. through Constellations work, is that the knowing doesn't come in a diagnostic way. It's not, I know because this is how it always is. I know because someone has, you know, I read it on, I Googled it and now I know it. It's a knowing that comes from the wisdom of the people in the circle. And it very often is a knowing of things that they couldn't possibly have known otherwise. Is that a fair way to say it?
Exactly. And I think that that's part of the beauty of it at so many levels. it can be done individually as a kind of meditation or visualization. In some ways, much what would happen if I were actually working just directly with you, that we would be listening to each other and you would have an awareness of different things that would be supportive for me. But in this case, what happens is participants who very often don't know each other at all come together, and they're willing to basically do, we call them constellations. They're willing to do constellations for each other. So people stand as representatives voluntarily of different people within a particular individual's family system. And what becomes really clear is that each one of the people who stands as a representative somehow has beautiful access to whatever happened in that particular individual's life that might interfere with my abilities or with my confidence, with my ability to love, with my ability to accept other people. And it is really perhaps one of the most beautiful things that that you pointed out, that it's not coming from a point of pathology or diagnosis, that it really is that we all are stepping into this field that really provides a very generous kind of knowing that helps us to understand what really in this family system is the injury that has created a wound that affects generations to come. And so when we're all there with this intention that's very clean, that's very much about understanding that in part, what happens is that when we see a resolution, when we see the point of injury, and we're able to honor that, and we're able to accept it or acknowledge it, when we see that point of injury, what very often happens that's phenomenal is that we have found anecdotally worldwide again and again that even family members who are not present can have positive impact. So for me, one of the things that's happened is I've become very interested in seeing how many different disciplines are beginning to engage in conversation around this way of knowing. So when we have all of this beautiful research that's being done, has been done actually for quite some time, around distance healing, when we look at the work of different folks, Dean Radin, people that look at intuition, knowing, and begin to document it in a way that perhaps a more general application of it would be possible in our society. It really is wonderful, because I've really had a hope that any limitations about folks being comfortable with their own intuition, with their own way of knowing, with the way that that so often connects us more and encourages love, I just have such a hope that that we're really kind of moving away from a place that has a fear of that, or that isolates it or rejects it.
I
got so excited. Did I stay on task?
No. There are no grades given on this show. And I agree with you. So actually, I agree with you. You get an A+ because I agree with you. I agree with you, and I hold that intention as well. You know, one of the things that I'm so passionate about is helping people who are finding their intuitive voice, having the courage to speak intuitively. And that the ability, the willingness of people to participate in the circle, as you describe it, for me to be willing to stand in as a representative for somebody in someone else's family system, I can't know anything about it. It can be, I would imagine, a tremendous relief to be given permission to know, to feel, to see, to heal in that way. And what I find in working with my students, Francesca, is that very often it is a relief to speak intuitively, to be in this, to work in this field. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot more work to not use our intuition. We really generate a lot of light and smoke and noise and heat when we try to not connect in this way, it's a relief to connect. And that's where I see things changing. That's where I see that awareness changing. Look, we all have this. We all have access in different ways and in different abilities, but we all have access.
That's really true. That's really true. And I think that the ability to accept those gifts is very much a part of constellation work, that there really is this expansion that comes when people are able to accept and to just hold things really as they are. So we've had a great deal of time when there was a lot of focus on people being very engaged in discussions about what was wrong or what was not working. But with family constellation, one of the things that we began to see is that there is really a different paradigm that one can engage with. And that other paradigm includes things like really seeing that whatever happened in my family system, there is something that we could call destiny. So there are forces, there are events that are beyond a person's control. And if we're able to see people in our family, people that we love, people that we're related to, and everyone in general, when we're able to see people within context, something really shifts. So an example of that might be that there are folks who have had a parent or perhaps a spouse who has been a combat veteran. What we now begin to understand is what can happen to a person's body, what can happen to their physiology, what can happen to their ability to connect deeply, to bond, when they have had a severe trauma. And in many instances, when someone has that situation and they have been a part of the family, what's been misunderstood is that that there's sometimes an understanding that that person has been has rejected or has not been warm or did not love. And one who has a parent like that or who has a spouse like that can very much become involved in a sense of trying to resolve the sense of rejection, the feeling of rejection. But when we're able to really look at the context and see what's happened to that person and honor what has happened to that person, what has happened to that body. And when we're not spending as much time trying to push sand uphill, we often are really able to see that person with our whole heart. And in this case, when it comes to family, the terminology that's used, the picture, the metaphor that's given is, to look particularly at family members as being so connected that they actually share a soul. So we could say we're a part of a family soul. And so when we look at the different people in our family, just within that context, their belonging, their absolute participation and their welcome home within that family's soul, then our whole body spends a lot less time being resentful or being frustrated or being angry or feeling the sense of separation. Because what we're really looking at and what we're focusing on is the connection. So just changing the paradigm, what we choose to look at, really seems to have a huge effect on relationships. So it's something that's really quite exciting because a lot of people have worked very hard, spent a lot of money and spent a lot of time to try to find a place where they have better connection with family members. But with this, it's something that seems to be really as simple as acknowledging this is what happened. And if it is past tense, and if it actually occurred, there is no amount of therapy that will change it. And so for us to be able to say, I honor it, somehow life decided that this person would go to war, or life decided that this person would have lost children, or would have been widowed twice, or all of these different events that affect people, to somehow have the concept that perhaps when there is something that's as big as destiny, that we can just bow to that and then see what our heart wants to do next.
That's a huge, that really struck me. You said that if it's past tense, if it's already occurred, no amount of therapy is going to help with that. And there's so, I hear sometimes an emphasis on, an emphasis on needing to try to scrub the past clean, needing to try to lift things from the past. And what I hear you say is that when we connect in this field, when we honor what has been, even if what has not been pleasant or joyful or sparkly or all happy families, that it, that there is an easing of the tension and the out of balanceness because of that.
Without a doubt. And I should clarify, an example might be if someone really abused their children and did it in part because they had been a victim of abuse themselves, and perhaps their parents had also been victims of abuse, and perhaps it is the communication pattern, the parenting style of that family system. What we've seen happen quite often is that the person who may have, who may have really a huge rage about that abuse, and because of the rage, they may have real difficulty trusting, finding a relationship, being able to bond, and inadvertently, they actually carry that rage into the way they parent. When someone sees what happened to their parent, and they're able, through representatives, to see the kind of pain, the kind of judgment that their own parents experienced as children, there are times that that experience, and it's very visceral because it's 3D, you hear the voices, you see the bodies, the expressions, the discussions, very often accompanied by phrases or colloquialisms that are actually natural for that particular family system. So there's something very unusual in the context of the way those things are presented. But when we see those kind of constellations, there really is a possibility, and very often there will be something in this process that diffuses the rage. What we also have to be really clear about is that although if rage was really a primary force for abusing the children, if the rage is diffused, then certainly there's not as much what you might call systemic pressure to do that. But it doesn't mean that the young parent who was originally abused immediately knows anything about communication or nutrition or child development. So the expectation of what someone is capable of at age 2 or age 5 or age 10, that body of information may not be there. So I think it's really good to be careful to not say that there cannot be help from other sources, and that in fact we may still need help from other sources. But what I think is true is that there's a German psychoanalyst who said years ago, we used to think when we do enough therapy, no matter what the experience has been, at some point, everyone will be singing. And he said, now we know that is psychosis. So I think that there's this balance, this awareness that that yes, for the destinies, for the life experiences, to be able to honor those and to know that no amount of therapy will alter that those things occurred. That's true. Mm. But it does, I think that it does bear saying that it doesn't mean that there is never any need for other kinds of support to continue to grow spiritually, emotionally. So somehow it is a journey that we aren't ever really completely finished with. Mm. But the anguish of trying to focus on something that will never be changed is something that can really stop.
That's wonderful. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager. My guest is Francesca Mason Boring. We're talking about some of the concepts in her book, Connecting to Our Ancestral Past. And when we come back, I'll be talking with Francesca about the ways in which she uses sacred ceremony, ritual, and connection with our ancestors in order to further the healing that goes on in that field. We'll be right back after this.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free to be me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not so far away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six...
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio, empowerradio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and I'm talking with Francesca Mason Boring. This conversation was jump-started by the concepts in her book, Connecting to Our Ancestral Past. If you head over to allmyrelationsconstellations.com, you can find out a lot more about Francesca and her work and her other books. And of course, would I love to know your feedback on this show. What do you think of what you're hearing? What does, Is Francesca saying something that touches something deep inside you, a memory or something that is unresolved? Are you going to change the way you think about your place in the family, the systems in your family, because of what you're hearing today? You can always reach me through my website, which is KarenHager.com. I'd love to hear from you. Francesca, we were talking about the power of that knowing field and about the healing that can arise from that place. And one of the things that's especially powerful about your work is that you've taken Constellations work and added elements of sacred ceremony, of holding space for ancestors to enrich and enhance this connection, to kind of raise the vibration of the field even more.
I hope that's true. I think that early on, because the work was coming predominantly from the field of psychotherapy, one of the probably the primary element that seemed not always to be present was, which is true in many disciplines, just first asking permission. Do I have permission to do this work? Is it in the highest good? Does it serve? Am I the right person to do this? Is there someone who is better matched to support this individual or this family system? So I think from an Indigenous perspective, probably the very first ritual or ceremony involved in being able to facilitate this work was just coming from a paradigm that first says, do I have permission to do this? So there are from that place a number of things, and I was uniquely blessed in that I knew a number of the people or met a number of the people who were developing the work, and we were able to really have exchange. And so there were several who were very interested and open, served as really incredible mentors and teachers for me. And so the evolution of the work, I think, was impacted by those aspects. But also the work itself had come predominantly through the work of a gentleman by the name of Bert Hellinger. And he had worked with the Zulu people in South Africa for 16 or 17 years and actually spoke Zulu. And so he was the person who in that society noticed that there was a real acknowledging of family and the place of people within a family system. And he also surmised that there seemed to be, to some degree, a greater sense of well-being within the context of family than he often saw in more Western kinds of family systems. So one of the things I'd be really excited to share, because I think particularly around holidays and your summary of folks getting together and some of the nervousness and the wishes that people have, perhaps a kind of a ritual or a ceremony that I could share with the folks who are listening. If you feel to do it, and if it's not comfortable, you can just take it as information. But if you feel comfortable, it's something that you can really safely and personally do in whatever way feels best. And so it's simply a kind of a ritual or ceremony that acknowledges the place of everyone within your family system. So I'll first just give a little tiny summary. One of the things that we notice about family systems is that if one is really aware, this is the mother, this is the father, this is the firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, etc., that there seems to be a flow in that family system. And love and a kind of a hierarchy, actually, really does flow in that system. And people are not expected to be something other or more than they are. They really are accepted in exactly their place. So it means that a child does not have to be parentified. The child is able to be the child. The parent is actually the parent. And the eldest is the eldest. And what we notice is when there's a lot of confusion in a family system about who came first or who is where, those kinds of influences seem to even impact our relationships going forward. So there's not a certainty I'm in a partnership or I am now a mother. All of these different definitions are not clear. And it's not to say that those definitions are stringent or are supposed to be restrictive, but it's simply a matter of, again, just acknowledging and being able to flow with that. So a pine tree is really, appears to be, quite happy to be a pine tree. And a daffodil appears to be quite happy to be a daffodil. Neither one is weaker. Neither one is stronger. They have their own cycle. And it's something like this that occurs in family systems. So what I'm going to invite people to do, and the other short intro that I'll give, is that this work also has a place for paradox, and it has a place for complexity. So if the family is fragmented, or if there was an adoption, or if there was an early death, or if there is a blended family, this work really has full space for the whole of that picture. So we don't have to be revisionists. We don't have to have a particular socially acceptable story. It really is, this is just what's true. So I'm going to invite people to do this in any way that feels comfortable. Some people like to go outside and do this with little stones or pebbles. Some people like to do it indoors, perhaps using candles, or you can do something as simple as using silverware on the table. But it's simply a matter of acknowledging and honoring what is true in my family system. So first, you just take a representative for the father, and you say, this is my father. And again, avoiding revisionism, what is true is that each of us does have a father and a mother. Biologically, with very few exceptions, that's just something true. So we really don't want to deny what's true. Even if father left early, if he died when I was still in the womb, the truth is that this is my father. So let's say that we're using stones outside. It's a nice day, comfortable. Just place the representative for father. And then you can say a simple truth. Perhaps it's something like, in his life, my father had difficulty. But still, he is my father, and he gave me life. And then you just take another stone, and you place it beside the father, and you say, this is my mother. And it might be that in my mother's life, she had some difficulty. But still, she was my mother, is my mother, and she gave me life. And then you place a representative, and they're side by side. You place a representative for the eldest child or the firstborn, and you say, this is the firstborn. Now, it could be that perhaps the firstborn child died, and you never knew that person. So you just simply say what's true. This was the firstborn of my parents, and even though he died, this was my brother. And so you really make a place for that story and for that truth. And then you go to the next person. This is the second born, third born. And you take your time. And really, in the end of it, you just simply look at the whole of your family system. And you say, this is my family. This is my perfect family. And it can be that that it might be that your father remarried, and or perhaps mother remarried, and you say, you know, these are my parents. And later, my father remarried, and this was his wife, right? But still, this is my mother. This was my father's wife also, and this is my mother. So it's just something that we tend not to do, to just look at what's absolutely true and really see it with our heart, not with our mind, and not with a critical spirit, but just with an openness to say, somehow, oh my goodness, this is what life decided. This is what we look like.
And this is where I came from.
Yeah.
And it's, you say something in the book about it being important to be able to go in whatever way you can. There's seven generations of connection.
Definitely. Now,
if I got out my little stones, I could get maybe two generations. And then I don't know. I don't have a lot of information. And I know there are people who maybe aren't even clear about their own generation, right? Because we're so disconnected.
Well, particularly with countries of immigration, that perhaps might be contribute sometimes to the sense of loneliness and disconnection. And what we know in this work, and what we know in terms of that kind of other way of looking, and that sense of connectedness and that intuition, the knowing field, the family soul, all of that is known. And all of that is a part. And so it doesn't really matter if we don't know the historical details. The ritual that you described, I love so much. If someone feels fragile or feels not connected or feels alone, to realize that, and the number of seven generations is really a representation of infinity. So it's not that we only come from seven generations, but that we come from so many generations. And that ritual just involves, and you can actually visualize it, you know, if you're comfortable at your own pace and in your own way, you just visualize the biology, the truth, the biological truth of your parents behind you, each of them having their parents behind them, and really having that seven generations back, but knowing that that represents an almost infinite number of people. What's really valuable about that is that it really does give a person a sense of, this is so much bigger than me. And what's actually true is that no matter what happened, and no matter what shortcomings I may have heard about, look at how generous life has been and for how long. And some families have disappeared, and somehow my family prevailed. So there is some kind of strength, there's some kind of beauty, there's some kind of a really generous grace in being able to see, I didn't just fall out of a tree. And it is very likely that there is some really beautiful purpose for my life, because look how many generations it took for me to be here, and how many people had to be successful, at least to the point that they were able to create life.
Wow.
So the seven generations also involves knowing, whether or not you've had children, that at least seven generations to come are impacted by your life. So certainly we're aware of that if we have our own biological children. But even those who don't, to really understand that a part of the beauty in what my life produces is that there is this impact that really will ripple long, 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 long after I'm gone.
Mm. And because we are all connected, I'm an adoptive mother of two boys, and the boys have different birth mothers. And so when I call back those generations, that is, right, that there are my boys, and then there are my boys' biological parents and all their people, and their adoptive parents and all of our people and their future children and all everything that goes. It is a really beautiful way of looking at a much wider, much more open, less narrow view of our lives and why we're here, and how we can matter, how we can heal while
we're
here.
That's so beautiful. Well, and what's so welcoming to me is one of the many things is that this work really does include the complexity of what happens in life. What happens in war? What happens when there's famine? What happens when someone is not able to care for a child? Or what happens when someone is able to care for a child and doesn't have a child or has the heart open but feels that it's not time to bear a child but can take care of another one? All of those different things that happen, remarriages, different types of relationship that result in life, that really in this work, there's not a formula that says we can't have any complexity. It really includes some of the most terrible and some of the most beautiful things and says, wow, and here we are, and we still have the possibility to love.
There is a piece in the book in Connecting to Our Ancestral Past where you are talking about inviting ancestors to be part of the circle. When we gather for Constellations work, inviting the ancestors to be in the circle, and that when you invite them, they are there as healers, and they're really there. You're not pretending, it's not a metaphor for something else, that you are literally inviting ancestors to be actually there as healers. How can we invite our ancestors into our lives? Should we? What if they don't show up?
Well, I think that one of the things, and this is another thing that came from indigenous wisdom, is that we can honor all of our ancestors, simply acknowledge that they lived, and also be aware that not everyone had an easy life. And so when we invite those who are able to support healing, those that are able to support movement toward love, that may not be every single person in our ancestry. So what we see in constellation work is that there are some people who have had a situation that was so difficult that they somehow, in whatever way, are impeded by that, even beyond life. And I think that's why there are so many different disciplines that that intervene for those people, whether it be prayers for the dead or whether it is to do a constellation to see is there some pain that's unresolved. There are a number of different indigenous traditions that acknowledge that there are some who really die unaware or in pain. And so we don't ask them to work when they are indeed in line to look for some kind of peace, whether it be through prayer or a constellation, acceptance, acknowledgement. There are so many different things that seem to shift that energy. But we definitely invite, and I shouldn't say we, I definitely invite ancestral participation that supports. And I don't see it as a metaphor or allegory. I do see that as very real, and it's informed by the way that I've dreamed over the years, so that I have met different people that I haven't known. And if I share with family members, their family members, what was said to me or who it was that said that, over years, it's confirmed that there is something that's viable, that's helpful, that really can stay very much intact long after a person's gone. So I definitely invite ancestors to come. And I think that one of the things that we see is that people can solicit particular ancestors. So when one beautiful doula that I know, when she's supporting with midwifery, what she does is invites those ancestors to the birth who really had an easy time with childbirth. So that really there's the fullness of this acknowledgement that there is this tremendous history in a family system in whatever direction, for whatever specific issue one has. Someone who had terrible time with business after being exposed to constellation work, they decided to really invite all of their ancestors who knew about numbers and who knew about negotiation because it was just such a challenge. And what they shared was that it really seemed to shift their own level of confidence, and a couple of times they had a sort of knowing dreams that were very instructive, and they had a funny feeling that that it actually had to do with that invitation. So I do know that there are lots of other disciplines now, so if a person is not comfortable with the concepts of ancestors, we have a lot of discussions now about things like genetic memory. So we have a lot of allegorical information that's really developed to say that this phenomenon exists. And then I think it's for each person to say what does their cultural paradigm permit in terms of their definitions. But I think that more and more people are really open to anything that serves love and that really honors life and connection and making a place for what's true.
Can you let the listeners know, and I know you have, there's a new book coming out. Can you let the listeners know how they can find out more about your work and go much deeper with you than we can go in the confines of this interview? How can they get to you?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. I have a website, which you mentioned, allmyrelationsconstellations.com. My email is Francesca@allmyrelationsconstellations.com. I have a facilitator training. It's 21 days, 7-day segments, 7 times 3-day segments, and that will be taking place in Seattle beginning in March. It's spread throughout the year, and the information is on my website for that. I'm on faculty at several different intensives, which give people opportunities to really go fairly deep in the work. And I feel very fortunate that I've been training a lot of other facilitators. So there are several places that I'm happy to refer people to if geographically nothing that I'm doing works for them. There are now a lot of people who are either informed by constellation work in their practice, be it psychotherapy, medicine, body work, fortunately teaching, business, administration. So it's a beautiful work just looking at connection and starting from the beginning with one of the most beautiful connections, which is our connection to family.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful. And I know you have a new book coming out. Can you share a little bit about, this is about, because you were sharing with me off the air, this talks about taking some of the concepts we've discussed here and really bringing them into other applications.
Yes, it is beautiful. The book is Family Systems, Constellations, and Other Systems, Constellation Adventures, a Transformational Journey. It really goes through a variety of applications now of the work so that it does have real application in nature, looking at nature as a system and being able to inform things like city planning, architecture, a variety of different things, also being able to understand the field of different aspects of nature. So it's very powerful application of the work. For organizations, artists, and people in the performing arts can really benefit by constellation work to increase their profit, also to be able to understand their work, to be able also to incorporate what is their limitation in terms of artwork and profit where does artwork fit within their family system? Does it exclude them from the family system? Or in fact, is it almost a part of the family system?
Mm.
So there are so many different applications now that are really exciting. So this Family Systems Constellation, Other Systems Constellation Adventures, I've also incorporated things that people can do individually, because I think that it's not just for people who are in a practice. Most people are connecting with other people, and our best friend really does want us to be able to help them when they have a question. So I think that just being able to trust that that we have the capacity to share more and to understand more is what I hope I'm supporting in this last book.
Wonderful. Oh, and thank you so much. The clock has caught us, as it always does. Francesca, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Karen, thank you so much, and thank you for this program. It's really a service, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, thank you. That is Francesca Mason Boring. We're talking about her book, Connecting to Our Ancestral Past, and you can find out more about Francesca and all her books, dive deeper into her work, at allmyrelationsconstellations.com. And of course, you can always find out more about what's coming up on the next episodes of Out of the Fog, find out how you can connect with me privately if you'd like to do that. All that good information is at karenhager.com. And thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.